My name is Morty, and I'm a recovering compulsive gambler who's in his 46th year of recovery. I gambled for 36 years of my life, starting at age 13. And I gambled at everything and anything. And in order to maintain my gambling habit, which became worse and worse every day, and the need for money became larger and greater every day and more difficult to get. But through manipulation, lying, cheating, sometimes stealing, I always managed to get enough money to continue my habit and create major, major problems that led into my married life and lasted through my married life for 23 years. My wife, Jean, knew before she married me that I had a gambling problem because we had been going together since she was 17 and I was 18. And when I left for going to the service, my gambling activities, instead of diminishing, increased. And every month, at the end of the month, whatever money I was earning, I lost. And I kept borrowing money from various people. And when I got back to the States, I owed a substantial amount of money. And these people wanted their money because they came from all over the country. And I explained this to Jean before we even got married. Because we were married in 1944, the war was still on, and I was still in the Army. And we paid back every penny I owed. Jean paid it back. I didn't have any money. I went back to my job. I'd been working in a garment center as a leather belt salesman and had a good job, earning some very decent money. And after about 3 months, I got a commission check for $1,900. And I proceeded to go to the bank, cash the check, and went to a horse room on 49th Street between 5th and 6th Avenue. I lost all that money on the horses. At the time, I had one son, Robert. He was about 2 years old. And I was gone most of the day and late into the evening and had called my wife. She was frantic. And I think I had $25 left. I went down to the Lower East Side and I made a bet on a fight, which I lost. Then I finally went home and told my wife what had happened. And the first thing that she called me was a bum. Back then, I never heard the expression compulsive gambling. And she said that I had to go for help or else. So they took me to a psychiatrist. And back in those days, psychiatrists all spoke with accents. It was something that wasn't heard of very much, but they couldn't help me. And I continued along this line, gambling, losing money, lying, cheating. My relationship with my wife had changed. The strong love that we had, that she had, it turned to hate. I was getting my orgasm from gambling. I had no interest in anything else, just gamble, gamble, gamble. Somehow it gave me a feeling of superiority. I felt that I was king of the hill, and I was when I won, but it was never enough. And then, of course, I'd lose it all, and I was back down in the dirt and back in purgatory again. Well, I continued doing this till the age of 49. And on July 14, 1967, Bastille Day, I was at a goulash joint one of these places where you play poker and they have a kitchen, you get food. And I was gambling with people who were this, well, I call them the scum of the earth. I had no business there. I came from a very fine background, came from a middle class family, never wanted for anything, but nothing was ever enough for me when it came to gambling. I'd get into trouble knowing full well that my mother and father would not let me go to jail or anything like that. And what I used to do when I really got into big trouble, I'd go to them and give my tale of woe, and they'd listen and they'd call me all kinds of names. And finally they would say, well, how much do you owe? Well, this one time I owed $5,000 to some bad people. And I said, I owe $8,000, Mom, because I figured I'm going to get, if I can get five, I can get eight. And the $3,000 I got over to five would keep me in action. I did this two or three different times. And finally on this July 14th, I was at this goulash joint, and as always, I went broke. And that was the lowest ebb of my life that I had ever been. I just felt I had no place to turn. I used up all the avenues of getting money, and I was tired of cheating and stealing. And one of the women there, who was the boss's guma, as they call them, she's a blonde. I called her a blonde bimbo. But if I were to meet her today, I'd kick her bare behind in Macy's window, because this woman saved my life. She said to me, you're a sick compulsive gambler. And I looked at her just to say, oh, how dare you call me a compulsive gambler? And she says, well, that's what you are. And you need help. I said, well, where do I go? And she told me about Gamblers Anonymous and gave me the number and I called. And a gentleman by the name of Marty D answered the phone. And I told him who I was and what my problem was. And he guided me and sent me to a meeting, which is at 39th Street. It was at 39th Street, but it was called the 48th Street Group. And it was a meeting at 8 o'clock. Well, I lived in New Jersey, but I worked in New York. So I waited around until 8 o'clock, and I went to this meeting. And I walked into the lobby, and I looked at the board, and I couldn't find any direction to Gamblers Anonymous. So I thought perhaps I was in the wrong place. When a young couple walked in, oh, they couldn't have been more than 32 or 33 years old, and the gentleman asked me if he could help me. I says, yes. I said, I'm looking for GA. He says, you are? I says, follow me. Well, they were the last people I would ever think were involved in Gamblers Anonymous. And I did. I followed them, went into that room. I've been following this man now for 46 years. When I got to the room, I had this feeling of hopelessness, and I knew the kind of people I had gambled with, and I was still concerned about what I might see or what I might run into. But strangely enough, I wasn't shocked. And I walked in and introduced myself. They just told me to sit down and listen. And I've been listening now for 46 years. And that they would call on me and we'd answer 20 questions. Well, I answered 20 questions, and for the first time in my life, I got 100% on a test. And they welcomed me with open arms and told me that I can be helped if I want to be helped. And at this particular point, I wanted to be helped. And I used to go to meetings, two, three meetings a week. And with each meeting, I became stronger and stronger. My life for the first year was a horror. My wife didn't want me in the house. She wanted me to get out. But I had no place to go. And I refused to leave. So she agreed to let me sleep on the couch. The bedroom was close to me. And I slept on that couch for a year. And I decided it seemed my wife, who could not tolerate Gammonon, because he brought back all his memories and she was trying to bury him and forget about him, wouldn't go. But I had to find a way to forgive myself and make amends for what I'd done, and then work on building back a relationship with my wife. And I started courting her all over again, doing the things that I used to do occasionally, bring her a little pocket candy or some flowers. And it didn't have any purpose because she just ignored it. And this kept on for about a year. But about 9 months had gone by, and Jean and my children both, I had two children by that time, Robert and Beth, both began to recognize that their father and husband had changed, that my personality was different, that I was more demonstrative, that I was more loving, more caring, less self-centered, and thought of others before I thought of myself. And finally, after a year, I won Jean back and continued on. And we had a wonderful life. We had our problems like everybody else, but one of them was not gambling. These were problems that we had no control over. My gambling problem was my own problem, was self-inflicted. But once I knew, and once I learned what I had to do, become the man, the husband, the father, the son that I should have been and could have been and would have been, our life went our merry way to live a normal, happy life. Today, I'm 94 years old. I'm not in the best of health, but I still go to meetings. And my main purpose in going to these meetings, it's my own benefit because I get a great deal out of it. And for me to carry the message forward to those that are still suffering, because I have to believe that a young man coming in at age 22, 23, not at 49, with his life, all that life still ahead of him, might get some encouragement. And seeing that somebody at my age, with my longevity, still has a need and a purpose to go to meetings. I'm very fortunate in having made some wonderful friendships and relationships in this program. People with addictions are unusual people. They've got a problem. And once they control that problem, they look at the world in a different light. And you learn to love and accept love. You learn what compassion means. And the kinds of friendships that you create in this program, you can never create in the everyday life of everybody else. These people are there when you need them, at any time or any moment. So all I can say to you, that this program can help. You get out of it what you put into it. Recovery depends on you. Today, I take pride in what I've become. I have peace of mind. I have problems. But the one thing I did learn, one major thing I learned from this program, is I don't run away from problems any longer. I face them directly. There's no escape. For 36 years of my life, I was running away from myself. I didn't realize that no matter where I went, my problems weren't with me. I left my first job in the garment center, telling Gene that I had to get out of the garment center because there was gambling all around me and I couldn't control it. So through a cousin of hers, I got a job, and it was on the west side of New York. So I just moved from 7th Avenue to 10th Avenue. But my problem came along with me and just intensified. So I have to be forever vigilant. And why I use the word recovery is because that's what I am. I'm recovering. You're never cured. You have to work on it every day. And that's where it's going to be for me for the rest of my life. I'm in recovery one day at a time. I go to meetings, I listen, I give my therapy, and I carry the message.